Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's time to touch base with today's edition of the Media Pod on Kelman on Cliff Central. Sabrina's already hanging out.
Hello.
Listen, we're getting into some serious stuff today. This is like, I mean, I always talk about the robot apocalypse and like I'm nervous about what happens. But this could be happening in an advertising industry context, right?
It already is, yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, cool. So we're talking programmatic buying, which to me means nothing, but because I don't know what the definition is. So what are we actually speaking about?
Well, the general Google definition is that programmatic describes online display advertising that is aggregated, booked, flighted, analyzed, and optimized via demand-side software interfaces and algorithms. So it's very in-depth.
Okay.
And probably quite confusing to the everyman.
Yeah, I still don't understand.
But there is an easier way to explain it.
This is why we've brought in the big guns today, the chief technology officer of Popeye Media, who are known to just do the most amazing stuff in a digital space. Gil Sperling joins us now. So Gil, programmatic buying, like the dummy's guide to definition, what are we talking here?
So let's take an example, right? So traditionally, when one buys media, whether it's on TV or billboards or whatever it is, and particularly digital, you'd phone up News24 and you'd say, "How's it? How much inventory do you have?" Inventory being the number of impressions, meaning the number of times an ad can be served. They'll say, "I've got 1 million impressions. Cool, I'll give you 10 rand per impression for 500,000 impressions, and there's your deal." You give them the ad, you know, the creative, and it flats, and you leave it, just like a billboard, just like a TV ad. What's happening now with programmatic is that you're able to buy every single impression in real time, and you're able to bid against other advertisers for that impression.
It's a hell of a lot to kind of digest. I mean, where does that leave the industry, Sabrina? Does that mean that, you know, people that have been doing traditional buying, like, do they still have a place? Do they have to adapt or die? What's the situation?
I think now the opportunity is, there'll always be the human element, but you can now buy specifically digital ads to start with without speaking to a single physical person. And I understand that TV and print is globally starting to come, you know, offer that as well. And hopefully, maybe not hopefully, I don't know, depending on what side of the curtain you're standing on, come into play here. But basically, you don't have to speak to any humans anymore or sign booking forms and get IO sent and email it through in PDF. And then that gets sent to financing and only then you can get your ad flighted. Because at the moment, it's quite an intricate process to get one banner ad up onto a publishing site.
Gil, why should we be really excited about programmatic buying? I mean, who should be the most excited and who should be worried here?
I actually think programmatic buying is a complete win-win type of situation for everyone, including the brand, the user who consumes the ads, and the publisher. So the reason is that ultimately what programmatic offers is efficiency. So because you can buy every single impression in real time, you now have control in real time of the supply, the demand, the targeting, the people who consume it, and then of course the results and the return on investment. So if you go back to the traditional example, if you are buying a billboard or you are buying, you know, a TV ad or a banner on digital, like the example that I gave, you're going to, you're kind of stuck with it. You know, so you buy it and you're done, you sit back for a month and whether it was good or not, you've got no control over it. Whereas with programmatic buying, you have full control. So what it's given is a dashboard with a whole bunch of dials that the advertiser can now tweak and get far better return.
How hard is it to learn these mechanisms and to learn these systems? I mean, some people log on to Google AdWords and it's like, I mean, I've logged onto that before and very quickly logged out because it's very confusing, that whole setup in terms of how, even a Facebook campaign, without sort of the education and really sitting and grappling with it, those things can be difficult to do. Does one have to be sort of qualified to be able to book in this sort of structure?
So in theory, no, anyone can go and do it, which is the great thing about it. But maybe I'll give you another analogy. So if you're investing in stocks, right, which is quite akin to this because it's also an exchange of buying and selling, supply and demand, etc. If you're investing in stock, some people like to be hands-on and do it themselves. Some people like to have a broker to do it on their behalf, right? So same here. You have a lot of businesses that do take that business in-house and they do have the skill and they bring it in and they do run it internally. And you have a lot that don't, that prefer to use an agency. So it is a skill, absolutely. But there will always be a human that needs to man it, even though there's an engine that runs in the background that does do the efficiency and the automation.
Hmm. And you explained it the last time we spoke as the car production line.
Exactly, exactly. So I mean, you know, the way I think the question was like, does programmatic actually have? Does it take away people? Does it put people out of jobs? Does
especially it? Especially the salespeople.
Yeah. Does it? What happens to the salespeople? So I mean, with the production line, with Henry Ford created the production line 100 years ago. It was a very manual way of putting together a car, although it was very efficient and so on. But now you have a whole bunch of robots that do it, and a whole bunch of people are out of cars. But then you ask yourself, but are cars better or worse? They're far better, right? Because you've created that automation and efficiency in what was a very menial task. So now everything that was menial in digital media buying is now automated and efficient, although it does come with its challenges. We now are able to focus more on strategy and on real-time optimization and execution of that strategy to make sure that there's a better return in real time.
That's where the humans come in, do the brain stuff.
Cool. So we're still involved. That's great.
Absolutely. Okay.
Not our jobs yet.
Yeah.
I want to speak for a second about, you know, choosing the platform these days, figuring out where to actually put money in the first place. And a lot of that's to do with, you know, return on investment. And certainly in this context, this is highly quantifiable. And if something is as quantifiable as this, then it makes one question why people would still be spending money on TV or still be spending money on traditional radio where, like, you know, they survey 100 people to figure out what stations they listen to. And there's nothing really measurable about it. Mm. What for you right now is the most measurable platform? If you have a budget of 100,000 Rand and you want the most measurable outcome out of that 100,000 Rand, how do you go about choosing where to put that money? Across any medium.
Sure. I like to tackle it by looking at a holistic approach, at a media mix, right? So that's when programmatic really helps us. So I would never discount any particular channel. Different channels work for different situations, mm. given different variables and different environments and different timings. So at any given point, if I were to go and invest at a certain channel or in a certain channel, I would take a very objective approach initially, but because we have the power because we've got that agility through programmatic buying on digital particularly, we're then able to tweak the dials until a certain channel would outshine the rest. Consider though that again, you would never find that media mix would completely focus on a particular channel 100%, because for example, let's say you're buying take a lot of advertising a pair of shoes. So you would first see a billboard when you're driving on the highway. You'd then see an ad on TV, and then you'd see an ad on Facebook.
Mm.
And then by the time you're on Facebook, you're already, you're already branded with it. You've already had those first two impressions, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to get buy those pair of shoes. So actually, Takealot doesn't sell shoes. Let's take Spree.
Takealot's Superbulous.
Yeah, Superbulous. Spree. Exactly. So, that's the idea. It's always a media mix. Okay, but the difference to the traditional sense is that you now have the power and the ability to manage it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different era, but I guess, you know, the one thing that remains the same is that the messaging needs to be consistent. That was, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, whatever, you had to have a message that, you know, you try to carry across. Now it's just across a lot of other platforms. Who's doing a really good job of embracing programmatic buying in a South African context?
So the guys who are, you know, really taking advantage of it are essentially your e-commerce guys, right? So that's like a natural start, because mostly they are very progressive, and they are, they've got the ability to be agile and to test these things out. Right. So we did mention Takealot. I know those guys are doing really well. And, you know, the whole Naspers group, so Spree as well and Superbulist, they really are taking advantage of it. And they're mainly using it as retargeting strategies.
Mm.
So
they chase you until you buy those pair
that's
of
it. Yeah.
Nike Air Max.
So, every day those everywhere Superbulist I go. Adverts.
Exactly. So that is a perfect example of programmatic buying. And I think we've all experienced that, you know, through those e-commerce channels as a first, probably the first guys to do it. Retargeting essentially means that you know, I do manage to acquire you as a lead to come to my website, and you do look at that pair of shoes, And then you decide, well, I'm not going to do it now or for whatever reason, but then we start following you around the web. So then you do go into News 24 and you see an ad for this exact size 8 brown pair of shoes that you were looking at previously, because we have the data and we've been tracking you across, and that all happens programmatically. So in other words, there's no way that I could have made that deal with News 24 in the beginning for that exact brown pair of shoes. Can you can see how dynamic it is.
Because how would you know who it was?
Exactly. So it's completely dynamic in real time.
It's very cool. I mean, everything goes through a product life cycle. Programmatic buying will go through, you know, the companies that will adopt it at the beginning. Then there'll be maturity. There'll be decline and everything. So what do you think is next after this? I mean, where do we go from here?
So, I mean, the immediate next for me. So first of all, programmatic does come with its challenges. And I kind of like to think of it as two. So if you look at the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the Twitters of the world, they are a closed ecosystem and they've got full control of their inventory. So the challenges that I'll speak of now don't really exist there. They, you know, very powerful and very, very stable. When you talk about programmatic across publishers, the way that it actually works is a whole bunch of publishers. So, you know, News 24, Parent 24, Mags on Media, Cliff Central, etc., would subscribe their inventory or their space to an exchange. Then advertisers would then bid for space on that exchange for any one of those publishers. So that comes with a lot of issues. It comes with a lot of fraud. It comes with a lot of, you know, discounting and not counting you know, it needs to be proper audited. And so it does come with its challenges. So the first thing is I really see that evolving and getting much better. That's the way I see things getting first. The second thing is that I see this type of technology and this methodology of buying moving to all traditional mediums as well. So let's take, for example, TV and radio, podcasts, right? For example, this. So a podcast is downloaded by someone. So you now have the data of who's downloaded it, which means when you know, if we're about to have a 5-second commercial break, because we know who downloaded it, we can get advertisers to bid for the person who downloaded it and show them a relevant ad. If it's a mom who has a baby and, you know, needs baby formula, we can actually show her an ad for baby formula as opposed to
BMW.
Right. Okay. So I see all traditional mediums now going into this. So podcast, TV, so Netflix, Hulu, that's all on a completely digital platform, completely data driven. We know who the users are and what they're consuming. So advertising on TV is going to be that way. And even billboards. So billboards are digitized. And I mean, who knows, you know, so with the e-tolls, you know exactly who's driving past. we can capture that information and show them a billboard ad on the highway that's relevant to you. You know,
there's also the beacon systems in retail stores now.
Of course.
Linked to your phone, knowing that you looked at a pair of blue jeans, and it's also becoming something like that.
Exactly.
Where you'd be like, oh, here's some blue jeans at 25% off. Don't come to shop X, go to shop Y, and we'll give it to you for
exactly. So I think that 100%. So I think that the way people consume content continues to evolve. So right now we consume content on our phones 24 hours a day. We're all on Facebook, you know, 24 hours a day. That's all going to evolve to virtual reality and to a million other types of things that we can't even imagine right now. That are all going to be opportunities for this type of opportunities for brands to reach consumers in a meaningful and relevant way.
I mean, it's interesting because one looks at the 21st century as the sort of age of individualism, but technology is just doing a really good job of being able to put people in boxes and being able to target stuff at people. I mean, on a human level, where does this all sit with you, Gil?
I've got no issue with it because I think it's just an evolution of means of communication. So go back 100 years. I could never speak to my family in the US whenever I wanted and see photos and videos and even put on a virtual reality mask and be at my nephew's 3-year-old party, you know? So I think communication is bringing us closer. We communicate with devices that my parents think is, you know, like you say, it boxes us, but that's the way of the world. We do communicate that way. Before it used to be communicating with fire and smoke. And you didn't have that. And, you know, we didn't have the world that we had now in those days. So I think it's part of evolution. I think it's quite natural. And I think that as generations evolve, it will kind of settle in a way that's sustainable. Hmm. Yeah. I don't think it's bad at all.
With me, I think my friendships have never been tighter than they are now. A quick WhatsApp message, hey, I'm thinking of you, an iMessage or a Facebook post. I mean, obviously spending a lot of time on Facebook, you get those people who are overly loving to their...
Just you haven't been on Snapchat yet.
to their other halves. Sure. But as a consumer, if I'm going to just go back to our conversation, Gil brought up the term relevance.
Yeah.
And I don't think the everyman knows that he's on a NASPRA site or a 24, he's on a Prime Media publisher. He just wants... If he's going to be given ads, rather just give him something that is relevant to him, what he's interested in and who he is, sort of audience or the data set that he fits into. So if I'm a mom and I'm on Parent 24, or I go on to car.co.za or whatever, give me that ad that I might actually click on, because who clicks on banner ads these days?
In a weird way, it actually adds to their value proposition, this. 100%. And I wonder how long it's going to be until they start realizing that. You know, a GQ can put out a piece about Adidas, and then Adidas put the ad there to buy the shoe. But people might be going to the websites that they get the link to buy the shoe eventually, which is also going to complicate the shit out of things, because, I mean... Then, you know, who's paying who for what and how does it work? Because, you know, you're giving them a platform, they're giving you a platform. Mm. I don't know. Is that overthinking it?
No, not at all. So that's exactly what's happening. So adverts now are not a banner ad as we know it, which is a colorful, shiny, flashing thing. It's far more native.
Yeah.
So Facebook is the best example of that. So, I mean, when you look at the way you consume Facebook is your newsfeed. You go onto newsfeed and they call it a feed of discovery, where you go on to discover content. So you kind of, you know, using your thumb, you're scrolling up. The flick. And then you see content that you expect to see. Family, friends, parties, people getting married, people having children, whatever it is, and brands. So they've made it so seamless that it actually, like you say, actually does add to the value of Facebook's product, because they found a meaningful way for brands to connect to consumers. And we all need to admit it, that brands are part of our lives, right? So for example, best example, Apple. Right. So Apple is a beautiful brand, all about design, all about progressing the world in terms of thinking of design and the way that they, you know, communicate and consume and so on. So I want to hear more about Apple. I want to hear about their next product and how it's going to affect my life. And similarly across my cupboard in my kitchen and all of the FMCG products that I have there, the Nestle's, the Unilever's. I buy, you know, I love Kit Kat, for example. I've got Kit Kat in my cupboard. So I want to know about Kit Kat and how they're positioned and their new product and their new variation or whatever it is. And Facebook, because it's so seamless, have managed to surface that information to me, or that content to me, in a way that I'm going to consume it most relevantly.
You can also pick what you don't want to see. They give you the option to say, this isn't of interest to me.
And that's what adds back to their algorithm that calculates, will this ad be relevant to you? So it naturally kicks out any content that is irrelevant. So it really only surfaces things that will make you come back to Facebook and want to consume more. And similarly for programmatic, so if you do look at the Prime Medias and the NASPAs and the publishers, ads are now far more native in the content of you know, so I may be reading something and there'll be a paragraph that could be completely an ad that was programmatically put there, but it's part of the content itself, and that's called native advertising, and that's where it's going to go. It's going to be completely seamless.
I want to sort of, if there is a possibility, bring in this global conversation that's been going on around, you know, kids on the internet. And you know that, I think it was Kanye West tweeted that the kid goes into the app store and runs up bills of like thousands and thousands of dollars or whatever it is, buying the in-app purchases and everything. In terms of governance on, you know, native advertising and programmatic buying, and being aware of the audience that's consuming it. I mean, if you are starting to not disguise ads, but integrate it into content and not be forthcoming about it and so on and so forth, like they are with these games sometimes in the app stores and that, you know, obviously we know that globally, people aren't keeping up with that legislation because the rate of, you know, innovation in the tech space is just so fast. I mean, I don't even know if the South African government knows half of what's going on in an internet context in SA, because to keep up with it is difficult. But where do you think the governance on, you know, programmatic buying and native advertising is going to go? Do you think there's going to be a realization point saying, hey, a 6-year-old might be reading this, so maybe we shouldn't integrate the Adidas sneakers ad into the article? I mean, how do you think it's going to roll out?
Yeah, so there certainly are those challenges. on a closed ecosystem like a Facebook, that information is far more accurate about who's consuming that data.
Yeah.
So there is that level of.
They really killed this Facebook thing, eh?
Yeah. I use Facebook as an example, but it would be the Twitters, the Googles. Yeah. You know? So, if you're looking at the publishers, it's far more difficult. The data there is not as accurate, but there are specific companies within the ecosystem of programmatic that deal with governance and with privacy issues. And they do screen and filter data in the way that it's rendered, right, or the way that it's served. So there certainly are things being done about it, and there are companies completely focused on it. I think that it will only get better, and I think that the nature of these types of exchanges will ultimately and naturally just root out this type of behavior or inaccuracy of targeting. It will only get better.
I mean, how does DSTV know that a kid who's watching Cartoon Network hasn't flipped over to some other channel? And who's you can't control that.
Yeah, billboards.
Yeah. Your kid's in the car driving past a billboard. You can't.
It's difficult.
Put blinkers on them.
Well, now at least you know with the e-tolls, and then they get your information. How many kids do you have the possibility of a kid? And they can put a camera and maybe turn the ad off. You never know where the world could land up.
That's it.
Where are we at on this topic here, Sabrina? Have we left anything out? Do you think there's anything else we need to...
Yeah, the last thing I want to chat about is I came across an article where some of the global guys who have a lot of money and buy these ad tech companies. I can't remember the name or his name, but he basically said that the ad tech industry is now fully entrenched and there's no more invention or no more innovation to happen. I mentioned it to Gil earlier and he's got some keywords to say about
opinion.
That.
That sounds
a strong
dumb.
Opinion.
I don't know much about
there's nothing
any
more
of this,
to invent.
But to me that sounds dumb. I don't know, Gil.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree with you. I would put it a bit more politically, but it is the forum to not be political, but essentially, if you go back 100 years in 1900 and you say to yourself, everything's been invented, we're done, time to die. Mm. I mean, look what's been invented in the past.
The radio is the best thing.
Yeah, so the things continue. You know, the world is full of secrets, and it's up to entrepreneurs and people to go and look for the secrets and find them and create and bring them out to people. So programmatic didn't exist 5 years ago. Well, no, 7 years ago or so. So someone had found that secret and started building this type of way of buying media. So just like everything else that was invented 5 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I didn't have a cell phone. Can you even imagine that? You know, so things are only being invented and discovered and found and evolved at a quicker rate than ever. And I do believe that media is certainly going to evolve and get better, and more things are going to be invented and more secrets are going to be discovered and brought out to everyone. And yeah, so I don't agree with that.
What did I do before Pinterest?
There you go. Yeah.
Until I can log on to Instagram and Kanye's taking a picture and he's got a t-shirt on and I can click the t-shirt and the thing arrives at my door, we're not there yet.
Exactly.
Until that happens, we're not there yet.
Exactly. Globalization.
I post a picture and it tells me exactly where I've bought everything from. We're not there yet. All right, Sabrina, let's land this here. What do we need to get out of Gil before we wrap this up?
I think perhaps Gil can give us just where the next 5 or 10 years is going, if you have any idea of that, and then we can, just watch the space.
Sure. So I think kind of back to my earlier point, it's early days for programmatic. It's only getting better. It's getting more efficient, and it's getting more regulated and more powerful, essentially. So I do see that by 2020 or so, which is what the next 5 years, like you say,
4 years.
That's when Kanye is going to be president. Yeah,
yeah, when he'll be president after Trump, exactly. So he'll. I do definitely see a lot more brands buying via programmatic. It's the ratio now is far lower. I don't know. I actually don't know the numbers. 10-20% at best case is programmatic buying. I see that being flipped. Definitely. As it evolves and as people realize and see the value and the return. And I do see agencies evolving around that. So the way that agencies are structured are going to put a lot more technical focus, data focus, and technology. So in this game, technology is a winner, right? So it's not a people game. It's a technology game. So it's not – the person who's going to make money in this game is not going to be the agency. It's going to be the tech and it's going to be the tech platform, right? So that's definitely where it's moving.
What Gil's saying is that if you get a job at Popeye Media now, there's a lot of growth potential in the next few years.
That's it. That was my...
You can send your CVs to Gil at PopeyeMedia.com.
There we go.
There you go. Well, this has been great.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Gil, just before we wrap it up, how do we keep up with you all day? Because we need to get those job applications in and all of that.
Sure. It's GK Sperling on Twitter. And Gil@PopeyeMedia.com. Email me. Yeah.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And everybody already knows where the Red Zone is. But if we need to just remind everyone one more time.
It's at Red Zone ZA. And the Red Zone on Financial Mail, the media and advertising hub.
Power. Sabrina and I hang out and talk to people that are smart like Gil once a month on the media pod. but it was really insightful.
Cool.
And of course, the podcast will be up of this on cliffcentral.com in a little bit. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out.
Cool. Thanks for having me. Cheers. Nick Hellman on cliffcentral.com.